how would you approach fixing the ferry system? What would that look like, especially given that, you know, federal funding has become more, I think, challenging to secure?
Yeah, it's become more challenging to secure, but we've also not done our part here locally. When we have funded deferred maintenance for the ferry system, that funding has been vetoed often, and we simply can't continue down that road. The ferry system is the only toll road in the state of Alaska. Every one of you who gets on that ferry has to pay for it. And in South Central, where I was born, where I grew up, we don't have to pay for our roads like you do, but we're still state roads. Highway 7 connects Haines to Ketchikan, and yet Highway 7 is only connected that way by the ferry system. So the state has an obligation to fully fund it. So we have to, I believe, do what I have called a general obligation bond, where we actually bond to catch up with our deferred maintenance for schools, for the university, for state buildings, but more importantly, for the ferry system. And there's been resistance to that in the legislature, and it does require the legislature to agree. But if we did that, we'd have the ability to do front-end investment that kickstarts what I would call a renaissance in our ferry system. I've been riding it since I was an infant, and I want to make sure that it is the ferry system that this community in Sitka and the communities throughout Southeast can actually use.
Another issue that's important to folks in Southeast is the Tongass National Forest. I wonder what your thoughts are on timber in the Tongass and how that resource should be managed.
Well, it's a complex issue because there are so many different levels of interest. Any timber that you're cutting, you have to do with a sustainable yield. And we've learned over the last 50 years of sustainable yield, which is what we claimed it would take to regrow a forest, is actually much longer than that. So if we're going to develop our timber industry and if we're going to develop timber jobs, we have to do so in a manner that does not damage our subsistence or commercial fishing interest. It has to be done in a manner that also is cost effective. So we have to balance these various interests. But what I think is exciting is that we can also look into the future in innovative ways we can work with our forests and forest management. And part of that is the carbon credit bill that passed a couple years ago, which allows us to set aside state lands or in the case of Sea Alaska, they've set aside some of their lands and generate income that can be used for employment opportunity to help deal with infrastructure needs. Those kinds of things we haven't even begun to explore.
You mentioned prioritizing subsistence needs. Do you support continuing a rural subsistence priority?
I do. But I did say rural subsistence and commercial fishing priority, both of which are important. These are interests that can be compatible. They do not need to be non-compatible. What you want to do is maintain the stocks, because if you don't maintain the stocks, neither of them can happen. I don't agree with the administration's position on trying to eliminate that priority. I think that that is in the best interest of all Alaskans, that we maintain the ability for us, if we choose to live off the land, especially for those of our residents who've been doing it for 10,000 years. That said, again, balancing interests, you've got to do that.
How would you work through federal cuts to programs that Alaskans rely on, like the tsunami warning system, given the state's budget situation?
Well, first, the premise of the question says that we have a dire budget situation here, which is actually, I don't buy that concept. I think we have at least, you know, I've been able to calculate up to nearly $1 billion we've left on the table. Some of it's tough decision making, but let's put this idea that we can't make a decision because we don't have any money. I mean, we have $86.4 billion in our permanent fund accounts. And of that, some of which is usable, some of which, of course, we preserve. I don't know if we can rely on the federal government any longer, whether in this administration or even future ones. You know, they haven't always been friendly to Alaska interests. This administration has clawed back funding that had been coming to the state. They're about to claw back more in terms of what potentially we could lose Medicaid. And so my goal would be, instead of, so reversing, if you will, the premise of the question, is to identify those things we must do in the state of Alaska, whether it's how we provide health care for people, whether it's how we provide food for people, or whether it's how we provide medical services for people outside of just basic health care. These things we have to address as a state, and that means we may have to take on some of that burden. I believe that we can do that. I believe that it, again, requires comprehensive planning. And this idea that you know, someday down the road, we're gonna tap another hole in the ground, and a new resource is gonna pay for everything. Alone is not enough. We also have to take responsibility here as a state for our future.